Thank you. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Matthew, and we're turning to the 27th chapter of his first book in the New Testament. And we're dealing in chapters 26 and 27 with the death of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Israel. And we're down to chapter 27, and I would like to read the first two verses and then go down to verse 11. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment throne, or seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the two will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, What shall I then do with Jesus, who was called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed the hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this righteous person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then Pilate released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. After that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. Now I've read that whole portion because I want this to be brought very clear before your mind, the historical sequence concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in the preceding verses, preceding chapter, Chapter 26, our Lord had stood before the ecclesiastical court of the Jews. And the issue there was not his character, but his person. Art thou the Son of God? Tell us. You remember that the high priest put Jesus under the oath and said, I adjure thee by the living God, tell us, art thou the Christ, the Son of God? And our Lord's answer was, Yes. That's exactly who I am. What further need have we of witnesses? He's a blasphemer. But when we come to Pilate, the issue now is not who he is. The great issue is what he is with respect to his character. And all the way through, you'll notice, three times Pilate came back and said, I find no fault in him at all. Why, what evil hath he done? Now, I know there are those who would have a little sympathy for Pilate. I'll be very frank with you, I have no sympathy for Pilate. his actions, what he did, what he said. He was just a smooth politician. He was in a jam, if I might use that word. He was in a dilemma. He didn't care about Jesus. He did care what they might say to Caesar, because the accusation against our Savior was that he was rebelling against all authority. And wherever he is denied, his authority is denied, he was accused of rebellion. Now, let me just suggest this. Pilate examined our Savior, asked him some questions, and the Lord didn't answer him. Instead of trying this self-defense, and it's very easy for us, every one of us, we're very, very quick to justify ourselves when we are accused of something. That's kind of a natural reaction, isn't it? Somebody accuses you of doing something, your natural reaction is defend yourself, self-justification. And so what startled Pilate? Don't you hear what they're saying about you? Do you hear their accusations? And the Lord never answered him a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, at the Passover feast, it was a custom for the Roman governor to please the people who would set somebody free. Now, there were a lot of criminals down there in the jail, in the prison, and he picked the worst one of the group. He picked the vilest criminal that was in the prison. His name was Barabbas. He was a murderer, a seditionist. Surely they're not going to accept Barabbas instead of Jesus. He thought this would be a way out for him. So when he brought up the vilest of the vile, he thought, well, now surely they'll not condemn Jesus and prefer Barabbas. But notice their choice. We want Barabbas. We prefer a murderer to a Savior. Do you remember in the Gospel through Luke chapter 19 how our Lord wept over Jerusalem? Why? Because they chose a destroyer to a deliverer. My friend, may I ask you the question? What are you going to do with Jesus who is called Christ? Do you prefer Barabbas or Jesus? You see, I don't have to answer that question. No, it's true you don't have the choice between Barabbas and Jesus, but you do have a choice whether you want your sin or the grace of God. You have a choice whether you want Jesus Christ as your Savior or whether you're going to have him as a judge. For I make it very clear and very simple to you that either Jesus Christ is your Savior or he will be your judge. As I've oftentimes said, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the guarantee of salvation to those who trust him. But it is also the guarantee of judgment to those who deny him, who reject him. And when Pilate threw down the gauntlet to these Jews and said, which will you have? This terrible man, Barabbas, or this Jesus in whom I find no fault? And even though they accused Jesus of sedition, even though they accused him of rebellion against authority, saying he's a king, Pilate knew very well it was for envy they had delivered him. And Pilate knew something about Jesus. Don't for one moment think that he was ignorant. He was the governor in Judea. He knew what was going on. His soldiers would tell him what was going on. He knew about Jesus and the miracles and all that had taken place. For you remember when Pilate sent him to King Herod. King Herod, the very first thing he said was, give me a miracle. Do one of your miracles now before me. And you remember how the Lord ignored him? Pilate knew all about it too. There was nothing they could find fault with in his character, nor in his person. But they had made a decision. And you remember in chapter 26, the first two or three verses, where Jesus said, the Passover is near. In 2 days will be the Passover, and the Son of Man is to be crucified. The Lord arranged the time and the method of his death, not the Jews, not Pilate. Now you notice as they go on down, his wife came and warned him. He said, "I've had a terrible dream about this man. Don't you do a thing about it." And when they said, what then will I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They said, "Let him be crucified. What evil hath he done? Let him be crucified." And then Pilate did something he thought would be very easy to get rid of this situation. He took a basin of water and he washed his hands and he washed himself of the whole business. He said, "I am innocent of the blood of this righteous person, this just person." Now, you remember that statement, "I find no fault in him," in John chapter 18 and 19. Three times, Pilate says, "I find no fault in him at all." Here he says, "He's a just person. I'm innocent of the blood of this righteous man." And they said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." Now, this is the staggering thing in verse 26. "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him up to be crucified." If Jesus was a righteous man, if Jesus was one in whom he found no fault, then why scourge him? There's no excuse for Pilate. And by the way, if you've ever read on how the Romans scourged a person, my friend, this is one of the most terrible things that ever happened to man. And the Romans were very adept at sadism. They just loved to torture and persecute and beat up people, and they thought they were being just in doing it. Criminals ought to be punished. This was their idea. And one of the most terrible things was scourging, where they were tied up to the scourging post, and their feet were tied, spread-eagled, if I can use that term, about six inches to a foot above the ground, and their hands also were spread out. They're tied to the post. It's like you putting a post, for example, between a wide door, and you tie a person to the post, and then you tie their hands up on each side, spread eagle, and likewise with the feet. Their clothes are taken off, and then a soldier will take a whip of leather cords, and possibly in the whip would be pieces of copper and pieces of bronze or pieces of iron, and when they scourged, it would take the flesh off the body. And when Pilate scourged Jesus and then brought him out to the people, he hoped that when they saw Jesus with his face all beaten and the crown of thorns on his head and the blood flowing down on his back and his body in ribbons, they would have pity on him and let him go. He thought this was a way out. Instead of that, they cried out all the more, "Crucify him, crucify him." I say there's no excuse either for the priests and the leaders of Israel, because he proved who he was. And there's no excuse for Pilate. He's a just man. I find no fault in him at all. And then you remember in verse 29 and 30 and 31, you have where the soldiers made mockery of our Savior. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a reed in his hand. They put a scarlet robe upon him. And they mocked him and spat in his face and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head. Then they took their raiment off and put his own on and led him out to be crucified. Oh, I tell you, my friend, neither Jew nor Gentile has any excuse. They're both guilty of the death of the Son of God. And when Pilate said in verse 22, "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ?" he threw the challenge to them. And by the way, I'm going to throw the challenge to you today. What will you do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Well, you'll do the one who gave himself to be a sacrifice for men and women. Did you ever stop to think of the fact that you must face Jesus Christ? You can't dodge him. You might be indifferent to him, but you can't ignore him. You may reject him, but you can't ignore him. It's either Christ as your Savior or Christ as your judge. My friend, I say this to you with all the compassion and tenderness in my own heart. When I think of the indifference of men and women today, just think the Lord is saying to people, "Come unto me, I'll give you rest. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Friend, am I talking to you today? And there have been times in your life when you've had to face this issue. You've heard the gospel of the Son of God, how he came, how he lived a sinless life, how he died for your sin and my sin, how God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand to be a prince and a savior. And now he says, what are you going to do with him? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God doesn't want you to perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when Pilate said to the Jews, which one will you have, Barabbas, a terrible criminal, or the sinless, pure, righteous Jesus, the Son of God? They said, give us Barabbas. What do you say, my friend? For you remember in John 8:24 it says, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. But verse 51 says, if a man keep my saying, he will never see death. You remember John chapter 3, starting about verse 18, he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Do you prefer sin to the grace of God? Do you prefer hell to heaven? Do you prefer Barabbas or yourself to Christ? My friend, I want to say to you today that Jesus could say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. He said that. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said to the leaders of his day, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And one could multiply the scriptures. He came into the world to save sinners. As we shall see in our next lesson on the crucifixion of Christ. But for today, I'd like to leave this question with you. My friend, when Pilate asked the question of his generation, what will you do then with Jesus who is called Christ? I raise the same question to you. Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Do you trust him? Have you put your eternal welfare in his hands, accepting what he did at the cross and his burial and resurrection for you? Or are you going to go your own way? For remember, Proverbs 14:12 said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof are the ways of death. I just trust that you will take Jesus as your Savior today. And remember, he said, come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. May this be your day when you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior.